This programme was first broadcast on ORFM Dunedin and made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
Welcome to Real Time Resilience, Coping During COVID-19. We join Dr. Denise Quinlan and Dr. Lucy Hone, co-directors of the New Zealand Institute of Wellbeing and Resilience, plus invited experts, as they share tips to look after your mental health and well-being during this time.
Hello and welcome. I'm Adrienne Buckingham, and I'm an educator and trainer for the New Zealand Institute of Wellbeing and Resilience. And today, we're talking about returning to the new normal of school online this term during the COVID-19 lockdown, or Rāhui. We're entering a new era for New Zealand education, and we are all learning this together. Our guest today is Rowan Teigle. Rowan has been a teacher and educator for 16 years, most recently a secondary school principal. Prior to this, as a professional development facilitator, she's worked with both primary and secondary schools around New Zealand on learning with digital technologies and future-focused inquiry and innovation. Joining us today is the director of What If PLD and as a wellbeing facilitator for the New Zealand Institute of Wellbeing and Resilience, she shares her thoughts with us about the new normal for teaching and learning online. Kia ora, Rowan. We're delighted to have you with us. Welcome to Bringing Wellbeing for Life.
Kia ora, Adrienne. Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, it's a really interesting time for us to have a conversation. I kind of don't even know what to say, but let's just crack into it because that's certainly what all of the educators and students around the country are doing at the moment.
Absolutely.
So what do you think some of the challenges might be for teachers transitioning to online learning?
Look, there are so many challenges everyone's facing at the moment, and I think that one of the biggest ones is just feeling so much pressure from so many different angles. Time pressure, the days seem to, in one extreme, just disappear and you don't know where they've gone, and the other extreme, they drag so much, and it's just trying to balance everything, fitting everything in, the parenting, the teaching, exercise and nutrition, all of these things that we know we're meant to be doing, and just packing that all into a day can be a real challenge. I think that people often feel pressure of other people's expectations, whether or not they're real or perceived. Just thinking about what other people might be expecting from you. As a teacher, you might have expectations on you from your leadership at your school. As a parent, looking to other people's families and what they're doing and feeling the pressure there. Sometimes we're our own worst critic and we can put a lot of pressure on ourselves that often isn't actually that necessary. And I guess that sort of brings me to think about, that sort of upward comparison challenge as well. But there's a lot of things going around on social media at the moment, people sharing resources, people sharing all of the, teaching tips that they have and the things that they're doing. And that can create a lot of pressure for people to compare themselves with what others are doing and put, even more pressure on themselves to try and meet, that sort of level of expectation that they have upon themselves.
Right, you have the time to read all of the resources that are suddenly being presented to teachers.
I know, I think that's another challenge is just, everyone's being so helpful, which is amazing. Lots of people are coming together as a community of educators and parents and sharing all the resources until it's actually become quite overwhelming. And you just can't read it all and you can't watch it all and you can't do it all. And I think it'll be really important for people to just take a breath and go, I like this one and I like this one. I'm just going to try these for now and just, be kind to yourself. You do not have to be a super teacher and a super parent right now. Mm. Yeah.
And I guess what's really defining of where we are is the uncertainty of how this is going to go because we've never done it before. So what do you think the challenges with the students might be?
I think that, for the students, just basically to begin with, many of them may not have the technology yet or, the capability to communicate in the way that you might like to initially, and that there's going to be a lot of challenges around, whether or not students will be able to be online with you at the same time, working at how you're going to do things asynchronously or, pre doing some pre-recorded material to share with students, or how are you going to communicate? That might be a stress for them and for teachers and parents as well. And I guess the main rule of thumb I'd be thinking is just keep it as simple as possible. If you know everyone's accessed emails before, then just start with an email message. You know, checking in and saying, look, let's try this. We'll try this one thing. And, you know, see how many people can join you with that. Just try and keep it as simple as possible, I think. So, and again, I think technology will be a real challenge for young people, especially teens, around, you know, social media as well. And just, you know, they will be spending way more time on technology. We all are. And that, you know, can lead to, again, spending a lot more time socialising on social media, which can have its pros and cons. Yeah.
So in thinking of how we can support our teachers moving forward, how can we avoid, as teachers, reinventing the wheel during this time? It's a change of format in terms of the delivery of education, but how can we keep this, like you say, as simple as possible?
Yeah, you know, I was thinking about this challenge and realised that actually the wheel's been reinvented for us, whether we like it or not. And so, but it's, you know, as you say, how can we use this and do this as simply as possible, especially in the early days? And I think that, you know, if you think about it, actually there have been a lot of people who've been doing online learning and teaching for a really long time. There have been distance courses, you know, in New Zealand as well. For example, Massey University is a good example of, you know, people who've been teaching online for a very long time. And Te Kura and a lot of places around New Zealand have been running online courses. So there is information out there on how to teach and learn effectively online. And if there's something that you are going to decide, you know, to research or Google, I'd maybe have a look at that. You know, people have been doing this before, and you can pick and mix the best tips and tricks from them to utilise for yourself, and just pick the simplest means as possible, you know, to try for yourself, I think. Yeah. And I guess, you know, the main thing for me would be trying to support ourselves in this, you know, crazy time, to just work smarter rather than harder, you know. So just use the most efficient means as necessary to get, you know, information back and forth, and to communicate with each other back and forth, you know, as simply as possible.
Yeah, I think it's important to remember that during this time, when we're actually managing a major health crisis and managing having our families at home, that we actually need our extra time not to be staying up late and marking and figuring out the digital technologies, but we do need to be looking after our well-being. And of course, that's the physical well-being and getting enough sleep, but it's also the emotional and psychological well-being, because of course that's going to impact the people in our bubble and the people we're trying to influence outside of our bubble.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. This is a, if you like, a slow release trauma that we're all going through, you know. The initial trauma was quite, you know, surprising to us all, but then it's ongoing, you know, and so everyone's going to be always more tired than they usually are, more stressed than they usually are. And so, as you say, I think, you know, it's right, everything that we do needs to just try and be simple, you know, expel or expend as little energy as possible, and just be kind to ourselves and each other. Yeah.
So what advice do you have for teachers and leaders this term?
I think, as everyone's probably already experiencing, it's going to feel a bit messy, but that's for everyone. So you're not the only one in that boat. Messy is part of the new normal. We're all learning as we go. And actually, I was going to recommend a book that maybe people can either purchase online or read after we get out of lockdown. But it's a great book by Tim Harford, and it's called Messy, which, you know, talks about being able to function within a certain amount of messiness, which actually often leads to creativity and innovation. So this could be, you never know what comes out of a time like this. People could end up, you know, being at their most creative from time to time, but don't expect it to be all the time, that's for sure. So I guess, you know, following on from that, I'd say consistency and simplicity are going to be really important. So working out with your teams, what are our consistent approaches going to be to communicating with students and families? What is our system going to be so that we all do something similar, so we don't maybe stress out our students and families around, you know, too many different ways of communicating and sharing information or materials they might need. So doing it the same as each other and keeping it as simple as possible will be really key. And I guess finding a way, especially maybe in secondary schools as well, for just checking how much work is coming at students, because when you're in your own little bubble going, okay, well, this is what I'm going to do with my English class or my biology class, and if everyone's doing that, we could end up overloading and overwhelming our students. So it would be a good idea for leadership teams or heads of learning teams to work out how they're going to check and know how much work students are getting and achieving, and whether that's, I know some schools have put together a quick Google site for students to access all of their different subjects learning through the one main portal, if you like. But whatever it is, I think that's going to be quite important too. And of course, the other really important aspect will be just checking in on how teachers and students are faring with their wellbeing. So working out, well, how are we going to check in with people? Are we still going to have like a whānau time or a form class meeting of some kind to check in? What if, you know, the odd student is experiencing some anxiety, or, you know, when they normally might have had a visit to their dean or their counsellor, what are your equivalents going to be for, you know, for the online situation? And the same for staff as well. You know, we all have our good and bad days, and so working out systems for staff to check in with leadership or with a buddy or with their team leaders to just all keep their finger on the pulse with how people are feeling is going to be important, I think.
Well, we know from the wellbeing research, but of course from education as well, that relationship is everything, that mm-hmm. is the number one predictor for wellbeing at any point in your life, but it's also really the determining factor about education. Everyone who has the internet has all of the world's information at their fingertips, but that's not necessarily what education in school is about. So we really need to use those relationships to harness that curiosity so we can use these phenomenal resources, or our students can use these phenomenal resources in front of them. So Keeping that in mind, how can teachers and school leaders build relationships using this new medium? Because our traditional methods of having a chat and smiling and having a joke and actually being in each other's space is not really with us. So how do we build connection?
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And in fact, it's more important than ever now when everyone's isolated in their bubbles. The connection and relationship, that feeling of rapport and human connection is going to be even more important. I think utilising your online synchronised sort of face-to-face, you know, Zoom chats or Google Hangouts or whatever you're using as the means of relationship building and connecting will be the most important. And transmitting learning or, curriculum materials can be done, you know, by pre-recorded video or by, you know, sending through documents or whatever it may be. And I think, or in smaller, you know, tutorial sessions if you need. I think the time that you have available to be online live should be prioritising those relationships and connections. And I think just be authentic and being real is what people need to see right now. They need to see that not everyone is feeling amazing and on top of the world and on top of everything. And, you know, just sharing, you know, going through your class and sharing, you know, one good thing or, you know, one kind of bummer of a thing or an average thing that's happened and how you've gotten through it is really important to sharing coping strategies and, you know, things like that. And that makes things feel more authentic and real again, because that's what you would do in a classroom. Yeah.
Yeah, and I know from the research that I've been doing that really that sense of belonging in school is really, you know, one of the many things that contributes to resilience. So
yeah.
how do we build that sense of belonging when we're not physically there? So it's this idea that, okay, we're socially distancing, but not emotionally distancing. And how do we do that sense as well?
And one of the most basic things you can do is when people log into their Zoom meeting and you've got, you know, these 30 little squares of faces in your screen, you know, greet every person as they come online, you know, so that everyone feels seen and acknowledged that they're there. You know, at a very, very minimum, that's a great way to start every meeting is just, you know, saying hi, everyone getting to respond hi or, you know, say hello to people, you know, sharing, you know, what's on top for them. And, you know, if you are doing this with a staff, and quite often, you know, staff rooms can, you know, have up to from 40 to 100 or more staff members, and that's a bit challenging to go around a group of people live online. But what you can do is have something like a live document, like a Google Doc or your OneNote if you're a 365 school, where teachers or students can type in, you know, what's going on for them, and people can be looking at that and reading while, you know, others are checking in. So you can sort of double up like that, and it's just another way for people to connect and have some fun. You know, I mean, people I know have been having, you know, great ideas for, you know, having formal Fridays, like people have been dressing up with, you know, a black tie, or you could have, you know, people dressing all in one colour to see if you can get a whole rainbow in your class going or something like that. So, you know, thinking of activities where people can bond in that way is really cool, and allowing the students to come up with ideas. I mean, this will give them some feeling of power and control back in this crazy out of control kind of situation where so many of the decisions are out of our hands and we have to rely on people in government to make all of these decisions for us. Giving students some, you know, control to come up with a list of ideas for how they think it would be fun to build relationships and reconnect again would be, you know, a great thing to do for them.
Absolutely. I think that building that autonomy, but also that responsibility that these, it's not just about the teacher creating a sense of belonging, that these students need to feel like they belong to each other, and how do we encourage that? And I guess the difference between learning online or learning from one of the, you know, television channels that is now available, showing up, I suspect, for students will be about being seen and heard. And when students feel heard and seen, they might keep coming back, because that's the point of difference I think teachers can offer in this medium.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, my son had his first Zoom meeting with his class this morning, and he was very excited. He's six, very excited to have a meeting on Zoom. He felt very important. Loved seeing himself in the little square and seeing all of his friends and just being able to go around, and they shared what they'd done over Easter. They got to wave and smile at each other, and his face just lit up. And honestly, that half-hour class meeting he had today was all he needed. He feels like he's back in touch with his friends again. He was so excited to see his teacher again. And I think she did an amazing job at just re-establishing that connection. And that's honestly all you need to do.
Mm-hmm. So in summary, what do you think the key ingredients are for schools to ensure successful learning this term?
I think number one would be high tolerance, low expectations. You know, we're all new at this, so just take a deep breath. Things are going to stuff up. Things are going to go wrong for everybody. Things aren't going to go perfectly. There is no perfect. There's just real. And so let's just roll with it. So high tolerance, low expectations. I would say establish some basics. So just a really simple routine is really reassuring for people. If it's always, you know, you send out the email about next week on Friday, and or, you know, you have certain routines for, you know, when you Zoom and when you send out materials, that people like that. You know, we're all creatures of habit. Don't reinvent the wheel that's already been reinvented for us, but, you know, use that pick and mix approach. There's plenty of people who've done this before that are sharing resources out there. Try and avoid being overwhelmed by it, but do use other people's tips and tricks so you don't have to sit there all night agonizing over it yourself. I would say fail forward. So things aren't going to work. Just model being a lead learner for your students, for families, and things. You know, people will appreciate that, and they'll have high tolerance for that as well, because we're all new. Practice self-compassion. You're only human. Be kind to yourself and have some fun. You know, build those relationships. Try and relax through it. We will get out the other side of this.
Yeah, that's a really nice summary of the ideas and ideologies you've shared with us. So what's your go-to strategy for boosting your well-being when you're feeling frustrated or down? Because I imagine that's probably pretty important at the moment, managing our own well-being.
Yeah, absolutely. And I do make time for it every day. I love to go for a walk. So even if it's pouring with rain or it's really windy, I get out there with my raincoat on and power up the hill behind our house. And lots of other people are doing the same thing. So it's actually quite a nice way to see other human beings out there. So going for a walk, I love listening to podcasts, and I actually love listening to this one, so I feel very lucky to be a guest on it. So going for a walk and listening to bringing wellbeing to life is actually one of my wellbeing strategies. So yeah, it's my go-to.
Great. Well, thank you so much for your time, Rowan. If you'd like to learn more about reimagining teaching and learning, go to whatifpld.com. If you'd like to learn more about well-being initiatives in schools and the wider community, you can follow us at the NZIWR on Facebook and Bring Wellbeing to Life on Instagram. Take care. Hang in there. We'll talk to you soon. Ka kite.
This program was first broadcast on ORFM Dunedin and made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.